Chapter 12. Confronting Uriah Heep. When I got back to my house, there was a very mysterious letter from Mr. Micawber waiting for me. "I have something important to tell you, my dear Copperfield. Uriah Heep is a thief and a criminal. He has done many bad things and has caused much suffering to innocent people. Now I must do something to help these people and to stop Heep from committing more crimes. Meet me at the office in Canterbury a week from today. We'll need a lawyer, so please bring your friend Traddles with you." A few days before the meeting in Canterbury, I received an unexpected visit from Martha. She asked me to come with her urgently, and she took me to a dirty old house where poor people rented rooms. We entered one of the rooms, and Emily was there. Before I could speak to her, I heard footsteps behind us. It was Dan Peggotty.
"Uncle!" cried Emily.
"Thank God!" gasped Mr. Peggotty as Emily fainted in his arms. I shall never forget that meeting. When Emily recovered, Mr. Peggotty kissed her and carried her down the stairs. Later, she recounted her experiences in Europe, and how, when she returned to London, alone with no money and no friends, Martha had looked after her. The following day, Mr. Peggotty came to visit me at home. He had surprising news. "Emily needs a new start in life," he said. "We're going to emigrate to Australia." I wished Mr. Peggotty the best of luck, but I was very sad at the thought that Emily was going so far away. I wasn't sure whether I should leave Dora and go to meet Mr. Micawber in Canterbury. Dora was very ill. Each day, as I carried her up and down the stairs, I was worried about how much weight she was losing. Dora, however, insisted that I go, and so Traddles and I went to the meeting with my aunt and Mr. Dick, who decided to accompany us. Arriving in Canterbury, we went directly to Mr. Wickfield's office, where we were greeted first by Mr. Micawber and then by Uriah Heep and his mother. A few moments later, Agnes entered the room.
"Micawber, you may go now," said Heep.
Mr. Micawber did not move.
"Didn't you hear me?"
asked Heep impatiently.
"Yes, I did,"
Mr. Micawber replied.
"Then why don't you go?"
"Because I choose not to."
Uriah Heep's face became red with anger.
"You are a criminal, sir," continued Mr. Micawber.
Uriah Heep smiled coldly. He turned to Agnes and said,
"Miss Wickfield, if you allow them to harm me, I'll ruin your father."
"Heep, you are a liar and a cheat,"
Mr. Micawber declared. He took a letter from his pocket and read.
"I, Wilkins Micawber, employed by Uriah Heep, have been forced in my work to forge documents. Heap has hidden things from Mr. Wickfield and has misled and confused him about important matters. He has persuaded Mr. Wickfield to sign documents without explaining to him why he was signing them. These documents gave Heap even more power. Heap has also forged Mr. Wickfield's signature, and he has persuaded Mr. Wickfield to sign an agreement which makes Heap his partner."
My aunt walked up to Uriah Heep.
"It's because of you that Mr. Wickfield stopped giving me good advice," she cried, seizing him by the neck. "I lost all my money because of you. Give it back to me."
Traddles and I jumped up to calm her. Traddles then turned to Heap and demanded,
"You must hand over the document that makes you Mr. Wickfield's partner and all the papers and documents you have forged."
"I refuse!" exclaimed Heap.
"In that case, I shall make sure that you are sent to prison," said Traddles. "It is true that it will take more time, but I assure you that we will obtain the documents. I am sure that you would be very unhappy in jail."
"Mother, get the documents," Heap hissed.
Mrs. Heap gave the documents to Traddles and we went with Mr. Micawber to his house, leaving Heap to his misery.
"At last I've been able to use my many talents," Mr. Micawber exclaimed.
"I'm so proud to have such a talented husband," added his wife.
"Mr. Micawber," said my aunt, "have you ever thought of emigrating? I'm sure they could use your talents in Australia."
"Madam, I too have heard that they need talented people there," Mr. Micawber replied. "In fact, I once considered the idea, but unfortunately I didn't have the money for the tickets."
"Well, thanks to you, my money may be returned to me, and I will be happy to pay your fare to Australia," Aunt Betsy declared. Mr. Micawber thought for a moment.
"I can only accept your offer on one condition," he said. "You must give me the money as a loan, and I will repay it in full one day."
My aunt smiled and said that that would be perfectly acceptable.